John chapter 1. Give me a second to get there. Last week, I preached on the ever-present God, And today I want to speak to you on the ever-speaking God. In John chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Heavenly Father, thank you again for our fellowship time, our Sunday school hour. Lord, our singing and praising you, Lord. We're so thankful that we are able to be here today. And Lord, now I pray that you'd get our minds focused off all the other distractions, Lord, and just on you. You and you alone, your greatness, Lord. And just help us think about the fact, Lord, that you desire to commune and communicate with and to us, Lord. And I pray that every heart here is open to what you have to say today, and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The ever-speaking God, the voice of God. You know, we see the word, several times. In the beginning was the Word, and then it says, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we know that words are a medium of communication. That's our, and how we express our thoughts, what we're thinking. We use words. That's how we do that. We're made in the image of God, in a sense, and has to do with certain things like that. That we do the same thing. We express our thoughts through words, and you know, and we also know that that text is a reference to Jesus Christ himself, who is the Word. That's who he's speaking about as well. And but I think what I'm trying to get you to see now is that self-expression is a desire of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Self-expression. God has a desire to communicate his will or his thought to us. He's done that several different ways, and he's still doing that. And that's what I really want to try to, the main gist of the message this morning, the ever-speaking God. And so, you know, God is forever speaking to his creation, particularly us, you know, humans. He's forever speaking. Not only did he speak in past tense or spoken in past, which is a past tense, but God is still speaking today. God didn't finish up speaking. I'll show you a few things about that along the way, but when the Word of God was complete, God wasn't done speaking to man today. And so I want to look at that, a couple points I have on that this morning. That's what I want to talk to you about. I don't know if this message will be a real long one. Usually when I say that, it ends up being longer than normal, but just the way, however God leads us and leads me and wants to speak to you today. And so the very first thing that we know, that God has a powerful voice. It's a powerful voice. And you know, the verse 1, it says, in the beginning, in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. And if you go into Genesis 1, the Bible starts off the same way there. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And so, you know, in Genesis, he said that. So there's two things. And so we know in the beginning, now think about this, in the beginning, God wasn't talking about the written Word of God. We didn't have the Bible. In the beginning in Genesis, God didn't have the Bible. I mean, he had the Word, but he didn't have a canonized version. So he wasn't talking about the written Word of God. He was talking about his Word, which is what the written Word of God is, by the way. But it was God's voice. The Bible tells us in Genesis, you know, that God took nothing. Out of nothing, he created something. And the Bible says it this way. It said, and God said, which is words, right? God said, let there be light. And there was light. Out of darkness, there was light. Let there be a firmament. God said, let there be a firmament, which is actually a space, and a space, air. God said, let there be water. And God said, let there be dry land. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass. And God said, let there be light in the firmament, lights in the firmament of the heavens. So when God said, that must mean that God spoke. I mean, God spoke things into existence. He didn't have to do things a certain way. He didn't have to take a material and form it or make it into something. That God could just speak it into existence. Now, that's a powerful word. When you can speak it and all of the creation and the universe and everything that's beyond what we know and see. And I always like to refer the Hubble telescope. Man, I mean, you can see for, you know, millions of light years or however far that thing looks, it's a long way and it still keeps going. There's no end. I mean, God spoke it all into existence and it was done. So he created. And what did God create? God created his will. And when God spoke, he spoke his will. And so when his will was spoken, then it was done. Man, that's a powerful word right there. And then God revealed to us, really God speaks to us through those things. When he created his will, there's that cause and effect. We understand how that works. The cause was God spoke. The effect was it was done. That's pretty simple, right? I mean, we can understand that. We don't have to be a Bible theologian to understand that. And so we see the power of God speaking. I've just read to you about creation, that God spoke nature into existence. Now, nature's a powerful thing. Man, you can look and we see a hurricane season. We already had something, but, come up in hurricanes and tornadoes, and we can see what flood, you know, water's a powerful force. Good night. Water, there's just no stopping it. I mean, when it gets going, it's a powerful force. I lived in Sicily when I was in the Navy, and I was on Mount Etna, the largest active volcano in Europe. That's another powerful force, and there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, when it decides to go, it's erupting here just a week or so ago. It comes up on the news all the time. I saw it erupt several times, you know, and it ash and all that, man, lava and stuff that's in the earth, it's coming out. And so waves of the ocean coming up, earthquakes, that's a powerful thing as well. And so we look at nature, there's the power of nature. Well, listen, God is greater. God is always greater than the creation. The creator is always greater than creation. And listen, if that you think that's powerful, it's just God's, you know, it's coming from God. It's the power of God. We got to grasp it with something that's tangible. You know, we see it in nature, but it doesn't describe the fullness of the power of God. We can't describe it because why? He's indescribable, right? He's indescribable. And so but it gives us some idea, something that we can measure something with or get an idea about that. And so we see the Bible, you know, the written word of God. And listen, as I said, never believe that this is it. Listen, we got God Almighty up there. We're worshiping God Almighty. You think this is all God had to say? Is this little bit right here is all God had to say? Now listen, everything that God says, I'm going to tell you, God's never going to say anything contrary to what he's already put down. He's not going to do that. Everything would line up with it. But listen, God, the world couldn't contain the books. Just the books that everything that could be said about God, it couldn't contain them. And I don't think the world could contain the books of everything that God would want to say or what God could speak, you know, with the wisdom and everything of God. And so it's not the end of that. God didn't, like, in other words, when the Bible was completed, God didn't plop down in a lazy boy recliner and prop his feet up and say, that's it, I'm not speaking to man anymore. I've got creation down there and I've got the word, my word down there, and that's it, I'm done speaking. No, God still speaks to you and I. God still speaks to us, okay? And so the Bible is such a confined thing. I mean, there's just so many, you know, you'd never be able to carry a book that God, if God put more in it, it would get bigger and bigger and bigger, right? And so God was speaking before the Bible was ever written. And God has been speaking ever since the Bible was written. He still speaks. Like I say, not contrary to what he's already written, but he speaks in conjunction or, with that, with the Bible. The only reason that the Bible has power, the Word of God has power, it's because it's the Word of God, because it's God. That's what has to do with it. That's the only reason that the Bible itself has power. Hebrews 11:3, the Bible says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. The worlds, the universe, earth, was framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Not by the written word. Listen, the worlds weren't framed by the written word of God. They were framed by the spoken word of God. Not that the spoken word and the written word are two different things. They're not two different things. I'm just trying to, we got to clear it in our mind here that this is it. This was the speaking voice of God. This was a powerful thing. Now, the second thing I want you to see about that, it was a powerful voice. It's also a present voice. And like I said, the present voice is what makes the written word a powerful word. And as I said, I spoke about cause and effect. God spake, that's the cause, it's so, that's the effect. Well, that effect is continuing on today. We still have the effect of that. We see the effect of God's written word, or what God spoke even, and what God speaks today. It's a continuation of that. And so when, as I said, when the Bible completed, God wasn't finished speaking to men. And I think he still speaks, because think about it. All right, generations and generations, you know, Jesus is not going to come back for every new generation of man and go to the cross and die for them, and so everybody can see that and hear about the rest. We've got that a one-time thing, so we still talk about that. That's what we preach, the gospel, right? But there's all the new generations of people that weren't here 100 years ago or here now. God still speaks to the next generation. He does still speak through creation, because guess what? Man can walk out and we can walk out and look at everything and look at creation and see how it all works. Man, I mean, there's so many things. I've read so many things in my lifetime. I use them when I spoke to the kids at King's Christian Academy. I go down there and talk to them and try to get them to see something. But if you ever just studied how the earth, the axis that it's tilt on, it's got to be the right tilt. We wouldn't have the spring, summer, winter, fall. We wouldn't have those things right there. The earth spins at 25,000 miles an hour. If it spun any faster, we'd go flying off of it. If it's any slower, take forever for a year to go by. You know, we've got to have, if it's any closer to the sun than it is, we'd burn up. And if it's any farther away, we'd freeze to death. No dirt out of that right this time of year, right? We're not going to freeze to death. But so all the things that go, that, you know, God is still, so it's amazing. And there's been a lot of people, there were people that didn't believe in God. They were scientists and things, and they started studying the things in nature. And you know what? They said, you know what? There's got to be a God. There has got to be a God. They came to that conclusion. And so, you know, God still speaks, I think, through creation, and every generation of man that comes on the earth, that walks on the earth, they should still see the same things you and I see, what our forefathers saw. They still see the same things that you can see God in the creation. So he speaks that way, and he continues to speak that way, and he's always spoken that way. And so then, like I said, he still speaks through the word of God, right? This word just as powerful as it ever was. You can still be saved by reading the word of God and putting faith in Jesus Christ. You can still be saved. It's still got that effect. It'll change your life. I tell my Wednesday night group all the time, listen, try this. Try reading four chapters a day. You'll get through the Bible in a year. Do you some good. But you keep reading the word of God, and you keep believing the word of God and putting faith in and trusting the word of God, it'll change your life. It'll change your life. And there's plenty of us that got a testimony about how our life's been changed since we got saved. And so I'm going to put that out there. It still has to be, because it is God's word. It's the only reason that it has power there. And he has spoken through the centuries. The people that put faith in what God said, the word of God, and have been saved and their lives transformed, that's the evidence, and there's no argument for that right there. And then also he speaks through the conscience, and I'll talk to you about that in just a minute. But that conscience that we have in our mind, it's something that God has placed there, and God still speaks through conscience. And I'm going to get on that in just a second. So we got a powerful voice and a present voice, and then we also know that there's a purposeful voice. You know, God has a purpose. When we speak to somebody, there's usually a purpose to it. You know, that we have something to say. I mean, it may not be real serious or deep or whatever, but oftentimes it is. It's a purposeful voice. And so God had a powerful voice, a present voice. And now the why. What's God saying? Why does God speak? Why does God speak to us? Why? He doesn't have to, but why does God speak? God speaks to us because he cares for our soul. See, God cares. Look, I didn't read all the chapter there. I'm start down there in verse, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And then it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. That same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of the blood, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And so we see there that he speaks to men to give men eternal life. That's God's desire. The Bible says that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He has a desire for that. God didn't never spoke any louder than he did on Calvary and on resurrection morning. That God spoke there. I mean, we learned a whole lot about God. We can see the love of God. We can see that, you know, that he cared, that he was willing to send his son to die for our sins, that we could have eternal life. And boy, on resurrection morning, that proved that God was satisfied with that sacrifice and that there's life after death, that we have a guarantee of that, the resurrected life. This is what he was doing. This is what God was trying to show us something that, and that was the only way. There's no greater way that God could show us that he loved us than what he did on Calvary's cross. Amen. There's no greater way than that. So God spoke that way. And so, listen, through Jesus Christ, God the Father has spoken to every person, every man, every mankind, every person God spoke. Look what it said in verse 9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. See what that means? There's some people that believe that, you know, that God doesn't speak to everybody. But it said that true light, talking about Jesus Christ, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now that means that every man has the ability and every man can see God, hear God, come to God. That there's the knowledge there. There's something about it. We are built to worship God. We are built to worship God. You go back in history and tribes and things that didn't know anything about Christ, didn't know anything. They all had something to worship. Why? Because God put a bone in our head that makes us know that there's a being greater than us. Amen. And that we probably should worship that being. Now, they didn't have it straight, but they knew that they knew that they could worship and they should worship. And so he lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That means that I believe that somewhere along the way, this is what I believe, and I believe this is a verse or one of them that would back it up, that somewhere along the way in your life and in every man's life, that God speaks somehow, whether it's by conscience, creation, by the word, that God is drawing that person to himself somehow. Now, you can resist the Holy Spirit. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. You don't have to. You can do what you want. But I believe that God speaks to people. And he draws men to himself. And if that wasn't true, wouldn't any of us be here, right? Amen. Huh? I mean, we're not handing out $100 bills to show up. I mean, you know, why do we, you know, if it wasn't true, we wouldn't have, the church would not be in existence today. Huh? No, martyr people wouldn't have died. They wouldn't have allowed God, somebody to burn them to the stake, burn them at the stake, or lop their heads off, or skin them to death, or saw them in half. Those people wouldn't have died for a lie. They wouldn't have died for a lie. No, they died for the truth, right? And so, how God spoke to their heart somehow. It's not just an intellectual thing. It's a spiritual thing. And so I believe that God does speak to every man. I believe that God speaks through their conscience as well. I believe that truth is still present. We know that. And light is still here. The light of God that it's speaking about is still here. I believe that God is still in his word. And I believe that every man, whether he read a Bible or not, that God can speak to him enough. You can operate with enough. To really find the truth today. Think about it. Well, think about Abraham in Abraham's day. He didn't have the word of God. He didn't even have the law. He didn't have the law. They were idol worshipers. God spoke to him. Where? In his conscience, probably in verbal. Well, he ended up, I know he spoke to him verbally. He spoke to him out loud. But how did he know those things? See, Romans 1:20, we talked about this some a little bit this morning in Sunday school class. The Bible says, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen." I don't know why everybody doesn't see it, but they blinded, Satan's blinded them, and they blinded their own eyes. "Being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." They are without excuse. There's no excuse. They're without excuse. Romans chapter 2, I marked this one down. Look at this. Romans chapter 2, verse 14 through 16. "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law." That means nobody taught them, nobody trained them. They were just naturally doing that. "These, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another." Your conscience accuses or excuses you. Your conscience knows. Man, listen, before I was saved, I knew what was, you know, I knew that you wasn't supposed to steal. I knew that you wasn't supposed to lie. I knew a whole lot of things that wasn't right. And when you did those things, how many of you can remember back when you weren't so calloused by sin and in disobedience that when you did something wrong, there was just some kind of a, I remember I was a little boy. I hate to tell it, but I'll tell it. I probably told it already. I was 7'11". I was a little boy. Don't lock me up, man. Don't lock me up. 7-Eleven, man. I went in there and I was eyeballing around. There was a Tootsie Roll, a chocolate Tootsie Roll pop. You know what I'm talking about? And nobody was looking, buddy, and I slipped that dude in my pocket. Man, my heart was pounding 1,000,000 miles an hour, man. And I went out of the store, man. I felt, man, I was scared. My heart was racing. If I had a blood pressure machine, my blood pressure would have been high. Just a little fella. Where'd all that come from? Why did I feel that way? I got away with it. I got out the door and I done confessed. The law probably show up. Hey, that Tootsie Roll pop back in 1960 or 50, you know, 60, early 60. Why did I feel that way? Huh? My conscience was convicting me. See, it's my conscience convicted me, and our conscience does that. And it's bearing witness. It said the Gentiles that didn't even have the law, their conscience bore witness to those lawful things. I think people knew it was wrong. How come Cain knew when he killed Abel? How come he knew to lie to God? Yeah, I don't know where Abel's at. I'm paraphrasing. I don't know where he's at. How come he knew to lie to God? There was no law saying thou shalt not kill. He didn't have the law. Abraham didn't even have it. How did he know? Because their conscience bore witness. Proverbs 8:1 says, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice?" Wisdom cries. The ancient Hebrews often called wisdom the universal voice of God. Wisdom was, that's how they looked at it. It was said that to be everywhere, sounding and searching throughout the earth, seeking some response from men. That's what the ancient Hebrews thought. Did God's voice is seeking a response from men? I believe that. Why would He speak to you? Why would He draw you to Himself if He didn't want you to respond to that, right? So we see without excuse. Nobody's going to be able to say, "I didn't know." I believe that. I believe that. I believe God's drawn them. I was telling you with all this stuff going on with my grandson was sitting there last night. We was up there at the house watching everything on the news, and he was looking at some social media platforms. He said, "Man, you wouldn't believe what people are saying." Some said, "I hope he dies." I saw all these anti-God things. People just date. There's people that hate Jesus, man. They hate God. They're out there. They're out there, man. I mean, and it's getting so radical that we're going to have to defend ourselves, you know, as Christians. And the only thing that God's hand, of course, but also I was telling Mike, I said the number of churches it is, you know, it puts the odds out there pretty far, you know. But you know, man, there's people. I'm talking about. It's a vicious hate for God and God. But they're going to be without excuse, huh? Yeah. You know, I mean, that's just the way it is. They'll be without it. And they have their day. You know, April 1st is their day. The Bible says a fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. There's no God. Listen, And so God speaks, and he's trying to get man to respond to his speaking voice. That's why he talks. A.W. Tozer said this. He said, our eternal welfare depends upon our hearing, and we have trained our ears not to hear. We have trained our ears not to hear God. Hear God speak. You know, modern science, the whole thing behind modern science, what did scientists try to do? This came up in my lifetime. Trying to prove things apart from God. They had to come up with an explanation for creation. The Big Bang Theory was scientists' answer, if this isn't far-fetched, scientists' answer for how the world and the universe started apart from God. Right? Apart from God. Hey, the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon was trying to see how everything was apart from God. He wanted to live his life, you know, like, okay, this is going to be the viewpoint of man apart from God, Ecclesiastes, that whole book. And at the end, he said, everything's vanity. Everything's vanity about that. Nothing, just fear God is the main thing, what he came to. But modern scientists has tried to explain away the works of God, the words of God, and the power of God. When Jesus prayed in John 12, the Bible said it was a voice. And it was God the Father, and he spoke. And the people that stood nearby, you know what they said? They didn't say, oh, that was God the Father. They said it thundered. That was man's explanation for God speaking. They said it thundered. Some said it was the voice of an angel. They kind of attributed it to something heavenly, but it didn't attribute it to God, right? That's what man does. Man wants to attribute the works and the words of God to natural causes, and that's why man oftentimes doesn't hear God speak, even though it's God speaking. They want to explain God away. It's not the question of whether God speaks or not. The question is, do you hear God speak? Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever had a sudden sense of loneliness? Where did that come from? That's the speaking voice of God. Where'd it come from? Because where does it come? To you say your heart, but really your conscience. Have you ever had a sudden feeling of awe and wonder? Maybe you saw something. Where'd it come from? It's the speaking voice of God. How about a sudden sense of peace? A sudden sense of peace. Where'd it come from? That's the speaking voice of God. How did it happen? The voice of God, I'll say this, is a friendly voice. No one need fear that voice unless he has made up his mind to resist it. To resist it. And most people that resist God, they do fear God. Man, the one thing, I can scare people to death. I can get, all I got to do is get a Bible in my hand and go after somebody, walk towards somebody that don't want to have nothing to do with God. Man, they'll run, they'll lock the door. Had it happen, man saw me coming. Man ran in the house and locked the door off their porch. I banged on the door till doomsday. They wouldn't answer. Afraid. Wasn't afraid of me. Afraid of the Word of God. I got a friend, man. I got a guy I grew up with. He said he believes in God, but he don't want to have nothing to do with the Word of God, the Church of God. He's afraid. He doesn't want to, you know, what he's made his mind up. Colossians 1:20, the Bible says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And the Bible tells us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's will. He expressed his will in his word and other things, conscience and creation. And This is God's will, man, that nobody perish, that we can be saved. He preserved this. There's enough there to know the way, right? To be saved. I mean, trust in Jesus Christ and ask him for forgiveness of your sins. The Bible also tells us that God often speaks in a still, small voice. But what's happened is one of Satan's tricks today is that white noise. We got so much racket in the world and so much noise going on and so much noise about our life, and we stay so busy and we've got everything. We turn the TV on, we're not watching it. We turn on the radio, we're not listening to it. We got to have it in the background going on. And even in the churches, listen, churches themselves create so much noise. So we got everything going on, every type of entertainment under the sun. Huh? Disco balls, smoke things, you name it. bands and concerts, and nothing wrong with music. You know, I'm a music lover. But I'm telling you what, sometimes we get so busy at church, we don't even hear. We don't even hear God speak. We can't hear God. God's still speaking today. I want you to notice, I'm almost done. Paul, if you want to head this way. God's still speaking today. He's speaking everywhere. Along with his word, the Bible, and like I said, he doesn't speak contrary to this. He's never going to tell you something that he's not going to tell you something's okay, what he's already told you in the word, it's a sin, something like that. But we got to learn that the words in this book's just as much for us today. This speaking part of God is just as much for us today as it was for them in every generation since. And God still speaks to us personally. Along with this, God still speaks to our heart personally. He's still speaking. This Bible will never be a living book to you until you're convinced that God is still speaking today. This will never mean anything to you until you're convinced that God is still speaking today. Do you hear him? That's the question. Do you hear God speak? And if you hear God speak, what's he saying to you? What does he say to you? That's the question for today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word again, and we're thankful that you do still speak to us, Lord, and we're thankful that you're in the saving business. And it's my prayer today, if there's anyone here today that not sure about their salvation, Lord, or hear you speaking to them today that they need to be saved, I pray they'll listen to that voice. Lord, come forward, trust you, call on your name for salvation. We'll thank you in advance for what you're going to do here during the invitation time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.